fifth case, the United States versus Galitti. Mr. Nolte?
May it please the court, Peter Nolte on behalf of Joseph Soletti. Our appeal to this court involves what we believe are two Fourth Amendment violations that occurred during the events leading to the charges placed against Mr. Soletti, and that require a reversal of the district court's denial of his motions to suppress, ultimately a remand to allow him to withdraw his plea. The first violation that we believe occurred dealt with the seizure of a certain set of car keys from Mr. Soletti's residence. The seizure was, in the court below, justified under the plain view exception to the warrant requirement. Court finding that the officers who found the keys were lawfully there when they found them. We don't necessarily dispute that. That the items, the keys themselves, were not within the scope of the consent given by Melissa Bauer to the officers to search. Consent was to search for an assault rifle. But that these keys had a sufficient nexus to the offense being investigated at the time the officer saw them so as to justify their seizure. Our main complaint is with that third factor. It is our position that under the facts as presented, while there might have been a suspicion that these keys were somehow connected with something, that suspicion certainly wasn't didn't rise to the level of the probable cause that is required.
But when officers didn't find the rifle in the home, why couldn't they reasonably believe that the rifle might be found in whatever vehicle corresponded to the key that they discovered in the sofa? Isn't that just really good police work?
You might consider it clever, but I don't think that necessarily means it's constitutional. The search, if you want to call it that, which preceded the seizure of these keys, was not a comprehensive, hour-long search of the premises. And Your Honor is correct, they did not find an assault weapon during this, what appeared to be sort of a cursory search of the premises.
But they knew a vehicle had been involved in the assault, did they not?
I wouldn't agree with Your Honor's characterization of the vehicle being involved in the assault. There was mention of a vehicle carrying persons that were later identified as being perhaps involved in this assault, but that the vehicle's involvement, if you want to call it that, in any of these events preceded the alleged crime by some period of time and occurred several blocks away. In other words, the witnesses the officer spoke to, Mr. Singleton and Mr. Glass, said that there had been an altercation between Singleton and other people and that a white car had driven up to the point of this altercation, which occurred two blocks or thereabouts from the area that was ultimately searched. Several events transpired between the time this white car was first seen with Mr. Soletti and other persons and the time that it was later parked by the Kilburn Street address. I guess the point is that there was essentially no mention of this vehicle as being involved in an offense.
Well, when they went to get consent, Mr. Nolte, and consent was given.
Consent by Ms. Bauer to search the house for the rifle?
To search the car.
search the car.
She gave consent, didn't she?
Well, we're talking about two cars here. There's a white...
I understand.
Okay.
But the was consent given to search the car where the weapon was found?
Okay, which occurred later.
Right, occurred later, huh? Now, they didn't mention they had the keys and checked out and knew which car it was. She just said, you can search the car, right?
No, I believe that there was an officer who came into the holding cell where Ms. Melissa Bauer was being held somewhere around 9 or 9:30 with a set of keys and asked if those were hers. And then she was later questioned at somewhere around 12:15, 12:30 that same day by Officer Hetherington. I don't recall that she had the keys there, but
she knew they had the keys. That's what you're suggesting.
Yes.
So if they just check registration and determine which car was hers, as long as she gave consent, the consent doesn't vitiate any problem with the keys.
Well, I don't think it does, and I think that they found this car as a result of, from what I can tell.
Clearly, I'm not suggesting they did it any other way than going around with the keys. But I'm just wondering whether it caused the consent to be given.
Whether
they got the consent anyway.
Well, in my opinion, the only reason they got that consent was handcuffing that woman at 6:30 or so in the morning and leaving her handcuffed until she consented at 12:30 or thereabouts in the afternoon. Without both officers Combs and Oswald testified that they didn't believe that they were in possession of any information that she had committed a crime. And in fact, the evidence that they did present, the testimony that they presented to the district court, was that whatever involvement she might have had in the altercation which preceded the alleged offense was as someone attempting to ameliorate the problem, to defuse the situation. So, under what authority this woman was handcuffed at 6:30 in the morning or thereabouts and kept handcuffed for the next 5 or 6 hours.
Well, but you had no standing to challenge that, do you?
Well, number one, I think we did because the government said we had standing. And I don't think that, given the fact that her consent was the only basis for ultimately searching this car and finding the weapon that led to the charges against Mr. Saletti, that he can't challenge it. And I would refer the court to your decision in Robles-Ortega. That was a case where a third-party consent was found to be the product of police illegality, and the defendant was allowed to use that illegality and tainted consent to suppress evidence to be used against him.
But here you have her not only signing the consent form, you have her testifying that she signed the form voluntarily.
Well, voluntarily in a sense that, no, they didn't put a gun to her head, no. But I just can't believe that it is reasonable to assume that being handcuffed to a bench in a holding cell for a number of hours, essentially without any contact with anybody, and then being asked to sign this form is anything, and the signing of the form being anything other than a product of being handcuffed for so many hours and wanting to get unhandcuffed and go home, which is precisely what happened after she signed the consent.
I reserve the rest of your time.
Yes,
sure, Mr. Iasparo.
May it please the Court. Michael Aspero on behalf of the United States. With respect to the keys that were recovered from the home, the only issue before the Court really is whether those keys were, the police had probable cause to believe that those keys were linked to some sort of criminal activity.
Well, how do you get there? You mean somebody saw a car, and so therefore any keys, what if they went in and they found seven sets of keys because there were car keys that are where the equipment is. So all those keys.
I think you get there first and foremost by there being a car involved in the earlier altercation. And the description of the car was that it was a white Dodge Neon.
Right.
And the white Dodge Neon, the police had seen parked right outside the residence there. They went inside the residence after Melissa Bauer allowed them to go inside to search for the assault rifle. Looking under the cushions of the couch where an assault rifle could possibly be, they find one set of keys. That set of keys, the fact that the assault rifle had not been found in the house, the fact that the white Dodge Neon that had been involved earlier in the altercation and was parked outside, it would be reasonable to assume that perhaps that set of keys had been hidden under that couch cushion, and they having been hidden, that perhaps an assault rifle had been hidden somewhere else. And it's reasonable to further assume that perhaps that is in the white Dodge Neon or some other vehicle parked outside. I think that's how you get to the probable cause determination. And I think it was reasonable for the officers to assume that those keys may lead to the discovery of evidence of the aggravated assault or, in this case, the felon in possession of a firearm. With respect to the search of the maroon Buick and Melissa Bauer's consent for that search, our argument there is threefold. First, that the district court was correct in determining that Melissa Bauer's consent purged any taint that may have been there from the illegal impoundment of that vehicle. We didn't concede below, and we're not conceding at this court, that the impoundment of the vehicle was illegal. Assuming it was, as the district court found, the district court also found that Melissa Bauer's voluntary consent purged that taint. That's the first reason that it should be affirmed. The second reason is because we believe that the police did have probable cause to at least impound that vehicle. And if not probable cause, then certainly reasonable suspicion. And the reason for that is, again, the fact that there had been a vehicle involved in the earlier altercation, the fact that this vehicle, although a different vehicle, was found a short distance away from the home, the fact that the assault rifle had not been found in the home, the fact that they knew those keys that were hidden underneath the couch cushion were the keys that actually fit that maroon Buick. Melissa Bauer said those were her keys. They checked the keys, they fit. They hadn't found the assault rifle. All of those factors in combination, I think, lead to probable cause, and if not probable cause, to at least reasonable suspicion to temporarily seize that vehicle. If it raises...
So I follow that when seeking the consent, did she know, Ms. Bauer, that the car was impounded?
No, she did not know. The only thing she knew about that car was the fact that they had the keys. And the fact that she didn't know, there was no... Assuming that the car was impounded illegally, there was nothing that stemmed from that illegal impoundment that caused her to give her consent. And the district court was correct when he found that her consent was sufficiently attenuated from the illegal impoundment of that vehicle.
Well, if she didn't know about it, then it's definitely not connected.
Right. The last reason that the district court should be affirmed, and this court can affirm the district court on any reason in the record. And the last reason, Mr. Nolte referenced our concession in the district court as to standing. The government did concede that Joseph Saletti had standing with respect to the maroon Buick. That's much different than conceding that he had standing with respect to Melissa Bauer's alleged illegal custody status.
Well, wait a minute. Doesn't he have standing to make that argument in the context of challenging the validity of her consent to search the Buick?
Well, I think there are two fruit of the poisonous tree arguments here. The first one being, assuming that the maroon Buick was seized illegally and Joseph Saletti had standing to challenge the search of that maroon Buick, which we conceded below, he had standing to challenge that poisonous tree and whatever fruit may result from that poisonous tree, that possibly being any consent that Melissa Bauer gave that resulted from that illegal seizure. There was no connection between the illegal impoundment and the consent that she gave. That's very different from saying that he has standing to argue that her alleged illegal custody was the poisonous tree, which resulted in the fruit of that poisonous tree being her involuntary consent. He can't argue something where his personal rights aren't involved.
All right, but are you conceding that he has standing to make that argument in the context of challenging validity of her consent to search the viewer?
Only with respect to a fruit of the poisonous tree argument where the poisonous tree is the illegal impoundment of the vehicle.
Sort of a yes or no answer, isn't it?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
I mean, it's one thing to claim the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine insofar as the defendant is contesting Melissa Bauer's consent as it results from the illegal impoundment of that vehicle. It's quite another thing to claim the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine for something that he has no personal stake in, where his personal rights aren't involved. He can't claim it based upon her alleged illegal custody status.
We know that. Okay.
But I think that's the distinction.
But he has standing to make the argument in the context as he challenges the validity of her consent
and our
search the viewing.
Our argument on that basis is that the district court was correct when he determined that her voluntary consent was sufficiently attenuated from the illegal impoundment of the vehicle.
Well, that's the next step, though. Okay, just never mind.
This court can affirm on any of those three bases, and unless the court has any further questions, I will ask that this court affirm.
Thank you, Mr. Sparrow.
Thank you.
Mr. Nolte.
Your Honor, I guess at this point, I would simply ask that this court reverse the findings of the district court and remand this matter with the directions to allow him to withdraw his plea. In the absence of any questions by Your Honors.
Apparently not. Thank you, Mr. Milton. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.